Well, welcome everybody to our next video. We've got Julie Barrett from Conservative Ladies of Washington here with us today. Julie, thanks for being with us.
Hey, MJ, it's good to be with you on your first day.
Yes.
That's fun. Congratulations. I know.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we're going to kick it off with prayer and then we'll get into it. So let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, for all of the work that Julie's been doing. Lord, I just ask for your prayer upon our conversation today. We invite you in. We thank you that you bless where this conversation goes and who it touches. Lord, we ask you to help us to focus on the things that need to be focused on and help us let go of those things that don't need to be focused on. Yes. And Lord, I just ask your rich blessing upon Julie and her family, her work, Lord, that she's done in this space as well as other spaces, and her travels as she travels across the country spreading this message and the work that she's just done to engage people, Lord. And we just thank you for all of your rich blessings. Yes, Lord, we again cover those across our nation that are suffering and devastation, the California fires. We ask your blessing and protection and resources for all of those devastated by the fires, those in harm's way, as well as in North Carolina, Lord, and just anybody that's suffering. We just, Lord, we know how much you love us and we believe you are a good God. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're helping those in need. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, Julie, again, thank you for being with me. Julie and I have known each other for a few years, and I've been so impressed with Julie's work as she has been so diligent and passionate in, you know, trying to help people engage with the legislation, with our legislators, because of what she experienced. And so I just am so excited, Julie, to help facilitate or give you, you know, more platform out there to help share your story with people. And then also, you know, the timing of this is intentional because we are embarking on another legislative session that starts Monday. And, you know, here in Washington State, our legislative sessions are a few months. Thank goodness they're not longer, but it's fast and furious when it happens. Right. And,
it is.
And so we want to get people prepared. Right.
Yes. Right.
So Julie, tell us, tell everybody about your background, kind of, you know, what you came from, what you did, and what led you into doing this work?
Yeah. So for most of my adult life, I was a fitness professional. I had gotten into, before my twins were born in 2006, and they're my third, I have four kids. So my firstborn was 96, and then my last two were in 06. And I was in sales and marketing until I had the twins. And then when the twins were two, I got into bodybuilding. And then when I got divorced in 2009, I did my first bodybuilding competition, and I opened my own gym in Woodinville, Washington, which had actually, I'd been an aerobics instructor way back in the day. That really ages me when I say that, because nobody does like traditional aerobics anymore. But that was kind of how I got my start in fitness and had always been just kind of a health nut. So then I opened a gym and was a personal trainer, and I really focused on helping new moms get their bodies back. And that was kind of the climate of my gym. But I also worked with competitive bodybuilders and physique athletes and did nutrition plans. And that was like, I loved it. In 2012, I learned that three of my children were being sexually abused by my former husband. And that put us into like 3 years of court battles and litigation and criminal investigations. And it was just one thing after another. And so I did end up closing my gym, which was for a few years, that was like my biggest heartbreak. Because I really had to grieve that. But as I was going through everything with my kids and the courts, that's when I became a Christian. And, I always tell people I met Jesus down in the pit of darkness. I was in a really, really bad place, and Jesus met me there. And I realized that I was going through all of these things with my kids, all these legal challenges for a purpose. You know, it wasn't just this heartache. It was like, God is going to use this somehow, someday. I met my husband at the tail end of that whole thing. And then we got married in 2019. And so became a blended family, had four teenagers. Wow. And 8 months after we got married, COVID happened. My husband came home from work. I think it was like March 4th. My husband came home from work and the four kids came home from school. And everybody's like, we don't have to go back to work school for 3 weeks. And I was working from home. I was doing contract marketing work. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And so that was certainly, you know, interesting for our you know, newlyweds. But my husband and I are just, he's amazing. And it honestly, it probably brought us closer. And I don't know what I'd do if he had to actually go back and work in the office. I'd miss him. But it was during that time that I set up a little Facebook group, and I called it Conservative Ladies of Washington. And it was just supposed to be a place where like-minded ladies could go to share, you know, links, information, conversation, where they wouldn't get kicked out of the group for being conservative and saying that boys didn't belong in the girls' bathroom. Because if you remember, it was back in 2015 that Obama did the whole bathroom thing, and then Target was in on it. And so a lot of moms were rightfully, you know, getting alarmed at this, but in Western Washington, especially, you know, you could get kicked out of the Facebook group if you didn't, you know, let the children decide what gender they wanted to be. Mm. So this was kind of just a place for ladies to connect. And I thought, you know, they can go off and, you know, have coffee or cocktails or whatever. And it grew really fast because we, you know, right after I created the group, we had COVID, and then we had the George Floyd stuff in the summer of 2020. And by the end of 2020, we had, I don't know, 7,000 people in this Facebook group.
Wow.
So that's when my husband said to me, you know, you're spending a lot of time making sure that this group is not just a bunch of memes and junk and ladies fighting. Maybe you should think about making an organization of it. And so that's when I created the website, and we created a membership organization. And I wasn't really sure, like, what did this look like? Because keep in mind, back in this time of 2020 in Washington, you couldn't go eat out at a restaurant. So we were having like gatherings in people's homes, and these women were just like hungry for connection. So that's kind of what it looked like at the beginning. And then it was March 1st, actually, of 2021 that we launched the organization. It was on March 17th, less than 3 weeks later, that our daughter, who was 14 at the time, and she was at youth group one night in Bothell and went to Seattle Children's Hospital in a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, COVID restrictions and stuff, so we weren't able to go in. And they said, well, you know, we're going to keep you updated, and we'll call you when, you know, she's going to be discharged and you can come get her. Well, they called us the next day and they said, she's ready for discharge, and she's going to be going to the Paul G. Allen Hope Center in Lake City, which is a homeless shelter for youth. And I was floored. I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, this child has a home. She has loving parents. She has a loving family. Why would she go to a shelter? Well, that's what she's chosen. And I'm like, she's 14. She doesn't get to choose. And the social worker said, well, actually, she's 14. And so she does get to choose. And that was when I didn't know about the laws. And so this was my awakening. Wow. And so, you know, it continued, you know, our story is, you know, it's a long story, so I'll abbreviate it as best I can. But she was in the shelter for 10 days. We were dealing with activist social workers in the shelter. I had ladies actually in the organization, you know, that have since become really good friends of mine that were looking up the names of all these social workers and Googling them and finding out who they were. And like some of these people were Antifa activists that were working in this shelter, posing as social workers. They weren't even licensed.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were barring us access to her. They were working with her to get a CHINS petition. They had LCYF, which is Legal Services for Kids, working with her. And we were able to get her out after 10 days. It took us 8 Seattle police officers and almost 8 hours standing outside that shelter. After another run-in at Seattle Children's, because she came out of there and she was not in great shape. So she had to go back to the hospital. And fortunately, our therapist, who was her therapist, a Christian therapist who has since moved her practice to Texas because of Washington's laws for therapists, was able to communicate with Seattle Children's Hospital and advocate for her to be transferred to Idaho, where we would be able to make her medical and mental health decisions.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, so that was like the big, that was our big, like I said, it's not a tragedy because she didn't die or anything like that, but it devastated our family. It definitely changed our family forever. It woke us up into a lot of evil that we didn't know was happening. And it was after that experience that I got a phone call from State Representative Brad Klippert. Excuse me, I'm going to cough.
That's all right.
I'm going to mute myself because I am going to cough.
Okay, you're fine. And Julie let me know that she was so kind to come on today, and she's been fighting a bit of a cold. And so, but she wanted to get on here with me, you know, to kind of help usher in this ledge session and to, you know, give everybody the heads up about some of these bills and also, you know, again, here's what can happen. Here's what is happening in our state. Yeah. Julie's story, this happened right here in our state because of the laws that have been passed and continue to be on the books in our state. And it causes a lot of devastation for our children and our families unnecessarily.
Yep. Yep. And you know, that's one of the things that I want people to know is that while I'm here speaking about my story, there are hundreds of other parents that will never speak up about it for a number of reasons, right? They're afraid of the state. They feel some kind of shame or guilt. Like, was I not a very good parent? And so any parent that's listening to me right now and hearing what happened with our daughter, and maybe whatever's going on with your kids is not quite as severe, but it's making you question your parenting. Don't ever question if you're a good parent because the state is trying to manipulate your kids. That is not on you. That is on the state. And I think that's a big thing that we need to make sure parents know is it's these things that are happening to these kids. It's not because they're bad parents. The state is intervening in your family. Government has no place for that. So obviously I'm very passionate about that. Yeah. But back to the story. So that's when State Representative Brad Klippert called me, and I had never talked to an elected person before. I was not politically engaged ever prior to this. And I didn't know that they called people. And so since he was the first one I talked to, and he reached out and called me, and he said, I heard what happened and I wanted to know how I can help you. So that is my assumption of all elected officials now. I think that you want to help me. So I go into it with that in mind. But Brad and I have since become good friends. He and his wife, Kim, are good friends of ours now. And it was at the tail end of the 2021 session. And as we kind of connected more and he learned that I had this group and this audience of people, he would feed me information about bills that were going on in the session that like, hey, we need people to send an email to these legislators or, you know, whatever it was he wanted done, whatever the call to action was, he would give it to me and I would put it out there. And then the next session, 2022, was the first time I ever testified. And I testified on one of Jim Walsh's bills, which was a really good education bill. It was like civics, teaching yep. civics in education. And it was rare that it got a hearing. So he was looking for people to testify. And Lee Vinna, who was at Washington Policy Center, she and I both testified on that. And then there was a line out the door of, you know, lefties, you know, to testify against the bill. And only Lee and I were testifying in support. And I saw that and I'm like, where's our side? Where is everybody? And again, this is my first time. So I was just expecting that we would have a line out the door too. And we didn't. So I tried it again a couple days later on a different bill. And I saw the same thing. And I was like, we're like totally MIA. Where are the people? So I, in 2022, I spent the session testifying on as many bills as I could. We were still going through crisis. So I think that was my coping with just immersing myself in that. There was also a really bad homeless youth bill that passed that session. That was kind of the bill that was probably the one I was most passionate about. And then in 2023, prior to the 2023 session, we created a legislative action team. And so, you know, I've just been kind of immersing myself into digging into these bills, because I really wanted to know, you know, when this first happened with my daughter, I wanted to know who made these laws. How long has this been going on? And I was really mortified, I think is a good word, to learn that it wasn't one-sided. And there wasn't like, we weren't going to have, the Republicans weren't coming to save the day. and so that is, you know, I know you watch, you know, my post on X where I will go down the rabbit hole and I try to connect the dots for people so they can see who's supporting different bills. And it's not because I don't like people or I'm trying to put a target on someone's back, but these are elected officials and we have to hold them accountable. And I think for so long, I think especially our generation, you know, we just kind of grew up in this amazing country where we had all of these rights and we weren't really taught to engage in our civic duty and that it was our responsibility to be participating in this process. So that's, you know, letting people know what's going on, how all of this legislation works together and impacts their lives, because it really does, whether you care about, you know, protecting your kids or your guns or your speech or whatever your thing is, this impacts all of us.
So. Yeah. And I think a lot of us, you know, since 2020 and the COVID era happened, it woke a lot of us up mm-hmm. in a way that made us go, what the heck's happening? How yep. is this possible? You know, even in our state, it was, you know, the governor, it was a law that was passed that allowed the governor to have these emergency mandates.
And that was bipartisan passing.
I think there was like maybe one legislator, maybe one Republican that didn't support it, or
probably
was
Jim Walsh, maybe, or Mike Patton.
yeah, Senator Patton. And I think, Julie, what you shared there is a big part of my, I believe this is, you know, what God's calling me to do. And a part of my why is that I think we get a bit lazy, honestly, as constituents and think, oh, this is just Republican Democrat. And if we get Republicans elected, then we're good. And what Julie just shared with us, and Julie, your research is so important and I so appreciate it. And I, you know, will continue to share it as much as I can. When you go dig in and see, you know, who have supported certain bills, how people voted, it is stunning sometimes, not all the, always, but, you know, at times who voted for some of these statutes that are on the books now. And it is not, like Julie said, what you would expect. So that is exactly what we need to do, is help hold our electeds accountable. And as much as, yes, and I think a lot of people know, I was the chairwoman of the Spokane County Republican Party, and I just finished that tenure, short tenure. You know, so yes, I think our values as Republicans are more aligned, and yet we have some people that aren't voting along with our platforms. And where is that accountability? So that's why it's so important to follow Julie's work and get engaged and not just assume, well, you know, our Republicans are in there fighting or whatever. Like, no, it's not good enough to do that. You have got to get engaged. So I think that's super, super important. And even like Brian and I were talking about, and actually I just posted something on X before we got on here, what's happening in California and what, you know, has led to the devastation, which is a dereliction of duty, I believe, you know, in their elected officials. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or independent. Like, if you allow things like that to happen, we're going to call you out, and we need to call things out. Right. And so it goes beyond this, goes beyond what's next to your name, but it's an R or D. Right. And so it seems like you have really seen that. It's been shocking to you, but you've seen that, haven't you? A lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't, I think when I first started paying attention to really anything political was around 2016, when Trump was running for president the first time. And, you know, hearing him talking about draining the swamp, and I'm like, what's he talking about? You know, corruption, you know, I was a single mom of four, for crying out loud. So I get a little bit of a pass.
Absolutely.
I was, but, you know, just, I think he really exposed to regular people that weren't politically engaged that there were some really big problems, and the swamp is at every level of government. Mm-hmm. And I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking about Republican, Democrat, you know, and how the corruption. Right.
So I don't really like, I vote Republican and I align mostly with Republicans, but I'm not a party gal, right? I'm not like, I don't go to the Republican women's clubs, and I'm not, you know, it's kind of like good policy, bad policy. I don't care what, like you said, I don't care what's after your name. How are you, you know, voting on policy? Because those are the things that we have to live under. So if you're enacting and supporting good policy, great.
Yeah.
If you're enacting and supporting bad policy, we can't have that. And we're at a point now where, especially in states like California, Washington, Oregon, New York, those states are so far to the left. I mean, I was in Washington in November when that bomb cyclone came through. And I was in Spokane, actually. I think it hit Western Washington worse, which is where my family lives. As I was flying up there, I remember thinking, what would happen to Washington if there was like here in Florida, you know, we have big hurricanes. Right. And so our eyes have been open to the importance of emergency response. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what if Washington had something like that? What would Ferguson or Inslee, or what would these people do? And like we saw with all those people that lost power in November in Washington, Inslee was like MIA, like he didn't care at all. And people were without powers for days. Yep. And so I think, you know, it's reaching a point where it's critical. It's life or death. And we're seeing it play out right now in California. You know, these people are losing their homes, and it doesn't matter if you have, you know, are a rich Hollywood celebrity, they're watching their homes go up in flames.
Yep.
And they're not happy.
No. And it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican or aren't engaged, aren't political, you know, it's the policies or the ineffective policies or the, you know, dereliction.
It's the woke stuff. It's the DEI and
Yeah.
You know, oh my goodness. Aren't qualified. It's hiring over, you know, equity instead of merit and skill. Mm-hmm. And like we're seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get, you know, I want to, and I appreciate you sharing your story, Julie, and being so transparent about it, because I do think that a lot of people don't realize that's what happened to you and why you do the work that you do. It really, the impact that that had for your daughter and your family. And, you know, I hope your daughter's doing okay now. And, you know, we talked earlier, it'd be interesting, you know, if she ever wants to come on and share her story mm-hmm. as she reflects now on that, we definitely welcome that, because I think a lot of people don't understand the true impact of these policies. And I think we see a lot of countries and a lot of other states correcting these policies, realizing how harmful they are now. But yet in Washington, there are bills that are being proposed that are expanding these type of agendas. Right. And they are harmful to our kids. And we've got to be, you know, I know kids that are gay. I have no problem with that. But we need to not push these ideologies down our kids' throats at too young of an age. And what I want to ask you is a little bit more, dive into this just a little bit. What was it that allowed for you not to be contacted and you not to be notified and your rights as a parent? I mean, so you basically in our state, when a child is 14, is it 13 or is it 14?
It depends on certain issues. It's mostly 13. Now if they want, with the 5599, which is, for gender affirming care and abortion, they call that protected healthcare. There's no minimum age on that.
And that was passed in 2023, the beginning of 2023. So that was not even passed when Julie went through this. So, but there's stuff preceding that.
Right? Yeah. And a lot of people don't know the bill I mentioned earlier, the 2022 bill, that was really important to me, was Senate Bill 5883. And it was a homeless youth bill. And I actually went back earlier this week and I was watching the debate in the executive session in the Senate when Senator Patton and Senator Dingra were both, you know, talking different points of the bill. I had testified on it. And so he was referencing my testimony. This was prior to us actually even meeting. We didn't meet until after the session. And he contacted me based on my testimony on that bill. But Senator Dingra said in her testimony, we have to have this bill because kids need glasses and hearing aids. Okay, MJ, how many kids do you know that need hearing aids in an emergency? So what this bill was, is it would allow homeless youth to access, to be able to consent, have any adult consent for their healthcare services, mental health, medical health, any services that they need. And there was the Republicans offered amendment after amendment trying to make this bill better by requiring that the adult or the provider would have to verify that the child was indeed homeless. And they voted down all of those amendments. And the reason Dingra's reason for that was they need hearing aids. I mean, it was the biggest BS. I mean, it was, when I go back and watch it, I don't know if I'd seen it before earlier this week, but I was like, hearing aids?
So like, they basically said it was about hearing aids and glasses, but what it did is it opened up all this other access, right?
Yes. Yeah, so your kid can run away, can get mad. And they actually have, there's these homeless youth shelters actually go out into the high schools. And I know this because they went to my child's high school in Bothell. they go out and they teach these kids, like, and they give them like all kinds of like swag and trinkets and stuff. And hey, if things aren't going well at home, you can call us and come stay with us.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So your kid can run away and say they're homeless.
So they're marketing it in our schools. Mm-hmm. My kids are probably older than yours. I've got a 29 and a 27 year old. So I didn't know that was happening back then.
This happened in the fall of 2021. So I have twins. So they're both obviously both the same age because they're twins. But so the one that was at the youth shelter in March. So it was October for her sister. And I was doing an event out in North Bend for conservative ladies. And I'm on the other twin was on her way to the youth shelter and my house. So for people in Washington, we lived right near the King County, Snohomish County border. And your sheriff in Snohomish County is elected. Sheriff in King County is not elected. Very different counties. And the sheriff of Snohomish County was our speaker at the event. So I'm on the phone with him. It was Adam Fortney. He's got bumped out by a lefty. I'm on the phone with him, and he saved the day because his deputies got my daughter before she crossed the county line. Because he said, if we don't get her before she's in King County, we might not get her back.
Oh my!
I mean, it's like the counties are like separate countries. But how many people have the sheriff on speed dial, right? I mean, like how, like, you know, God's hand has really just been all over our family and our kids for so long. But I mean, and you know, after what happened with the one daughter. I mean, we've had for the next, you know, 2.5 years while we were still in the state, we had just issue after issue after issue. And it was just this non-ending stuff. But that was that day that she ran away to the youth shelter to circle back. She had gotten the information because I asked her, I'm like, I couldn't figure out how she knew which youth shelter to call. Well, she didn't. That's when I found out. She said, well, they came to our school. And she showed me all the stuff they gave them.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, do I want youth to have a place to go? You know, absolutely. If they need a place and they're on the street, yes. But to be marketing this to our children is, you know, that's not healthy. That's not good. It's not a good viable option. Their, you know, brains and what, you know, the consequences, right? Like just the consequences of everything that happened because of these laws, because of these, you know, bills that were passed when it was said, oh, it's for hearing aids and glasses. And I'm assuming that bill passed, right?
It did. Yep.
Because we're talking about it.
Yep.
In 2022, then, you know, all these things just lay the path.
So like every year there's a new bill that just sort of expands a little bit more, gives them a little bit more. But here's the thing. Because my daughter just, you know, they turned 18 in July, but the one was in a youth shelter in Tacoma. And on her 18th birthday, they kick her out. So here's the thing. They entice these kids away from their parents. They give them all these services, all these things. They, you know, need to run up the budget for all these services. And then when they turn 18, they're out. Like all of this is intentional. It's not that they want the kids. They don't want to help these kids. They don't truly want to help these kids. If they did, they wouldn't just toss them aside when they become legal adults.
Wow. So they just kick them out?
Yeah. And so what do you think happens to most of these kids who don't have loving parents that they can call and be like, I've been sleeping on the street for the last two nights. Is there anything you can do to help me? Right. I mean, how many of these kids actually need these services because they don't have good parents, they don't have homes that they can go back to. Right. And what do? Right. They're just, it's like they're creating this homeless population.
Wow.
For their homeless industrial complex.
And so then they access the adult services, which is pretty darn scary.
Yep.
when they're 18. My goodness. Oh my gosh, Julie. Yeah, it's really scary. It's hard to believe. It really is hard to believe. And that's what we're trying to do, is help expose this, you know. Yep. Again, appreciate the raw and the real and the transparency, so people understand the impact, the true impact of these policies. And yeah. You've lived it.
And that's what I, you know, as time marches on, it, you know, new people start following me and they don't know anything about this. And it, you know, it's the reason I'm so passionate about continuing to speak about Washington policy, because parents need to know, they need to protect their kids, whatever that looks like for you, you know, whether it's homeschooling or, you know, having your kids sign a release of information when they're 12 so that, you know, or on their 13th birthday so that you can access all of their, you know, medical and mental health information. Leaving the state of Washington, I mean, you have to do whatever it is you need to do to protect your family and to protect your kids.
Yep. Absolutely. And so, you know, people probably have caught on, or people that know you know that you did move to Florida. We still love you. You're still very involved. Thank you. And I appreciate, you know, that even though you're in Florida now, you know, you're still watching our bills. You're still trying to impact and, you know, help people engage and understand what these bills are saying. And so let's talk about that now. Let's talk about, okay, we've got the ledge session coming up here. How do people get involved? You know, what's the best way? What's the most impactful way, do you think, for people to engage in the system? Because I think, you know, I've followed, I was on the State Board of Education. So I've been following bills for 15 years or so since I was a school board member. But, and I worked with legislators, you know, directly and stuff, but I think people often wonder, does it make a difference? Like if I email them, if I call, if I testify, like, or even sign in, what is your opinion? What is the best, most effective way for people to make a difference?
Truly, I believe that testifying on bills it's really critical, and we need more people that are willing to testify on bills. And there are hundreds and hundreds of bills, and so it can be overwhelming. So if you're a person thinking, okay, I would testify on a bill, because you can do it via Zoom, so you can do it from wherever you are, which is one of the blessings of COVID, I would say pick one bill for the session and just commit to testifying on that bill, because you'll have 2, maybe 4 opportunities to testify, because it'll go, you know, maybe have a couple public hearings in each chamber. That would be critical. Like for me, if I look back at 2022, I would have picked that 5883, the homeless youth bill, and I would have just followed that bill all the way through session. So if you think you could testify, I would recommend picking one bill for your first session. But you can also do the sign-in. Right? Like we send out a weekly, every Monday, we do our hot list, and it's all the bills on our hot list that have hearings that week. And you just one click and you just sign in pro or con that says, I like this or I don't like this. And so what we hear from a lot of people is they get their list in the email in the morning, and they sit down with their coffee and they just work through the list. We usually have them, they come throughout the week. But Monday is the big list, and then they kind of trickle out throughout the week. so I recommend that. And then written testimony is something that you can do if you don't want to speak. One thing people should know, because in Washington, you might have an employer that if they caught wind that you had testified, they might not like that. In fact, I was working for the North Shore Schools Foundation when I was testifying. I was on contract with them, but somebody on the board caught wind of it, you know, because I was testifying on all these education bills, and they wanted my boss to terminate my contract, and she wouldn't do it. But they wanted me gone. So if you are in a position like that, where it would matter if you lost your job or your contract, then you might want to submit written testimony, because if you do, you know, all of it's public record. And a lot of times quotes can be picked up by media, video clips can be used by media. So that's something to know before you go into that.
Good tip.
And,
you know,
and we have a great team of people in Washington that can help write testimonies if you don't know what to say. We have a legislative action team that meets on Monday nights on Zoom every Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And then we do a lunchtime legislation Thursdays at noon, which is just a gathering for citizens who want to find out what's going on, what are the bills that are moving, what needs attention, what are some things that they could testify on or take action on. So that's kind of a fun, casual meeting of citizens and group. You know, we invite group leaders and people that just want to collaborate to come to that too. So hopefully
and that's through Zoom as well.
Yeah, both of those are through Zoom. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how would they get connected with us, Julie? What's the best way for them to either get on that email list or, you know, follow along?
Yeah. So they can go to our website, conservativeladiesofwa.com, and there's a little pop-up on the homepage and you can just put your email in there and that'll get you on our email list. They can also go to our Legislative Action Center, which is also on our website, conservativeladiesofwa.com. And under the Issues tab, you'll see our Legislative Action Center. And that's super cool because that's where we put calls to action. We put our key legislation, the legislation that we're following. But you can also go and search, and I haven't found any other tool that does this. You can search by keyword. Mm. You can even search by RCW. So for instance, on that X post that I put out on the gender inclusive schools bills, because there's like a little network of them, I put in the RCW and that's how I found out that there were all these bills that were working to change that single RCW. So that's a really cool that tool on our Legislative Action Center. If you're looking for something specific, it pulls from the whole Washington database.
Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. That's super cool.
You could type in like firearm if you want to, you know, and that'll pull every single bill that mentions the word firearm.
Wow. Well, and I do know personally, I think Julie has made this as easy as possible. It is a complex system. If anybody tuned in, Brian Noble and I were talking about this earlier. That's one of the challenges is our system. It's so complex that it's hard to engage. And you've spent years, you know, getting to this point and then also trying to make it easy for people to engage. So Julie and Conservative Ladies of Washington have done a tremendous job trying to break this down and make it easy for you. And your emails where you're like, this is the top, you know, here's the ones we're watching this week. You know, it's a click the button and engage, click the button and take action. And so again, they've broken it down and made it really, really way simpler than if you're just coming in, you know, completely foreign to having to find a bill on your own. I mean, you can do that too, but you know, these tools that Conservative Ladies of Washington have for you are extremely helpful. So I love that. And I think you've done a great job with that, by the way. What are your key topics? Like, what are the things that you guys hone in on?
We have
thousands of bills. So
there are hundreds. There are literally thousands. I think last session was like a little over 3,000. We have five issues, First Amendment, Second Amendment, parental rights, education, and the right to life, which includes abortion, gender affirming care, and, assisted suicide. So end of life care as well, which all of those things are very legal in Washington.
Yeah.
And expanded upon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about what are you seeing with this session and how can people, it's already kicking off because there's already a ton of pre-filed bills. So right. We already know kind of what's happening. So give us maybe your things that you're most concerned about, or bills maybe to watch. And then what else are you looking at, you know, going into this session?
Yeah. So we're really looking at the education parental rights bills. They overlap quite a bit and intertwine. Washington has what's called gender inclusive school policies, which I'm sure, I mean, you're well aware of. It's what, policy 3211, and requires schools to call a child by whatever name they want and whatever pronouns they want and keep all of that secret from the parents. And so they've filed a few different bills to expand upon that. They're adding homelessness and immigration status to the protected student class, which I think is in response to the Trump agenda to deport illegals. And they are going to spend they want to spend $1.5 million for OSPI to do a review of every public school in Washington and how they're doing with their gender inclusive schools policies.
Oh my
God. So basically they want to force schools to be doing this because they want to, you know, they've been trying to take away local control for a long time. And so in part of what's in these new, some of these proposed bills is for, you know, teachers that aren't following the policy, then they would get, you know, punished in some way. There would be some kind of, I don't remember off the top of my head. I haven't quite gone down the rabbit hole on all of those because they were just pre-filed yesterday or the day before. But those are going to be really problematic. They're also repealing the Parents' Bill of Rights, the I-2081 that was passed last year. And the reason that the legislature passed it instead of putting it on the ballot is so that they could come back and repeal it this session. If it had gone on the ballot and gotten passed by the citizens, they would have had to wait 2 years.
Well, and our superintendent of public instruction has already stated last year that he wasn't going to follow it. And so that was after the session last year.
Yeah, and there was, I think it's the ACLU and maybe somebody else filed a lawsuit. And so the judge suspended parts of the initiative that, in my opinion, the biggest parts of it, which were like mental health, gender identity, sexual identity, all of that has to be secret per the judge's order. You know, and like, to me, as like, if I, as a mom, my priority on that, like education records versus mental health records, I want the mental health records every day. Right. Yeah. Because if like, they're not going to keep education records a secret. They don't care about that. So those are big ones. There are a number of gun bills.
So let's talk about, before you get onto the gun bills, what's the, what, do you have some of those bill numbers on those?
Let me share that graphic.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's important for people to get those numbers so they can be tracking it and looking at it. And you can sign up. Here we go. Add that. And you can go on to ledge.wa.gov and type in any of these bill numbers. And, you know, it helps if you put SB or HB in front of it. But I think
you don't need to put You don't have to. Okay. And you can go to our Legislative Action Center, which I've got on there as well. And pull up any of these, you can search the RCW. But yeah, so this is what I wanted people I wanted to make this graphic so people could see sort of how they're all connected. Cause that's one of the things, like, it's so funny. I think God has such an interesting sense of humor because like attention to detail is not my forte. And so like to have me in all these bills and really paying attention to all these details is just, it's only God.
Well, you do a great job. I would have never guessed that about you at all.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm like a visionary person. I don't like being in the details. So this is very, very interesting for me. But Senate Bill 5123 expands protections for students, to promote inclusivity in school. What they're doing is they have they've taken the current RCW and they've so it was gender expression and identity. They've separated those out. So it's gender expression and identity and sexual expression and identity. And they've sort of added some descriptions to those that are new. And then they've added the homelessness, immigration status, neurodivergence, and neurodiversity and ethnicity.
So let me just for a second, let's dive into this just because I think people can, we're getting a little numb to some of these things, right? Because we've been hearing it. So let's talk about like neurodiversity and, you know, to understand what the impact of this is. So I have a son that has autism and we found out, you know, when he was young, but let's say you had a child that maybe, is older, right? And I don't know, you know, I'm thinking this is the 13 years and older qualification, but maybe it's not. And so if they are neurodiversity, I mean, that would qualify. If all of a sudden the school became aware that maybe they fall upon the spectrum somehow, you're saying that they would not communicate that with parents?
Oh, well, so this is separate from, this is just the definitions, but yeah, I mean, I think that wouldn't surprise me. And I think, think of any kid that has an IEP or a 504,
right?
Those are the kids we're talking about. Maybe if they're dyslexic, I mean, is that neurodiversity? Probably.
I mean, there's a lot that could qualify under that, you know, grant a lot of times that's going to come out earlier, you know, and so you'd be aware, but you know, what's happening with a lot of this legislation is they're making it younger and younger and younger too. Right.
Right.
And so maybe it's 13 years right now, but then next year, who knows what they're going to do. So when they add these categories again, you know, it may not seem like that big of a deal, but the impact is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. It is huge. Especially when they start expanding it. And on the gender expression, it's so vague. Their definitions are so broad and so vague. And, you know, anyone who's a parent and has ever had a teenager, you know that your child can feel one way one day and completely a different way the next day. I mean, they might be best friends with Sally on Tuesday and they hate her guts on Wednesday. I mean,
yep.
So, yeah, it's absolute nonsense. None of it is based in reality or science or, you know, anything like that, which is what, you know, they say it's all about, you know, the science and the studies and all of that. And it's really not, but yeah, they really are trying to cast a wide net and pull as many students into this as possible.
And a lot of this comes from this agenda. Again, I think Julie and I are both moms. You know, we care about our kids. We want our kids to feel safe. We want our kids to feel safe in schools. We want every kid to feel safe in their schools. You know, and the agenda around this has been, well, if you don't do this, you know, they're going to feel unsafe, you know, right. Because, you know, they're not going to feel accepted. And therefore, like they've tried to say, therefore, they're like more likely to commit suicide. Well, the research has come back on that. And that is not true. A lot of these kids that have been encouraged in these ways or been, you know, with these type of laws that have been, you know, kept away or pushed away from their parents or have been the conditions have been where they have, you know, supported that line of thinking. They have found those children to have more suicidal tendencies.
They're creating a mental health crisis.
They are creating that. Yes. Yes. And we've just got to be honest about that. This is not helping. This is making it worse.
Much worse.
This is not, you know, again, it's these policies that people, you know, we've gone down that road. It's kind of like the devastation in California. You know, it's these DEI policies that have led to these conditions that have created more atrocities and devastation. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to our kids. So this is why it's so important. So didn't mean to interrupt you there, Julie.
No, that's okay. So then we have Senate Bill 5180. This is the one that amends the gender inclusive schools policy. It changes. So the current way it reads is like the word is like transgender students, and they have changed it to like gender expansive students or something like that. So to make it, to broaden it from just transgender students. And then they have, let me see if I can pull up my,
And they she's coming through a lot of detail on this to help you get the high level on this.
Yeah, all of these are kind of, I went through it in detail yesterday and they're all kind of blending together for me. So I'm probably not giving you the best detail, but you can, like, all of this is in my X feed. And it's on our Substack, which if you go to Conservative Ladies of America, if you search Conservative Ladies of America in Substack, you'll find this. And then so Senate Bill 5181 amends the Parental Bill of Rights and the sections of, so why I have this tied to the RCW is the sections of the Parental Rights Bill that dealt with this RCW. And then so here's something that's been interesting as I start like digging in, you know, going down my road of legislation. I'm really getting into the budgets. And everybody's, you know, kind of keen to the big omnibus that passed in DC in December, right before Christmas. Well, Washington, every state has those as well. So for Washington, the budgets that have been filed are companion bills. There's why they're two, they're both the same. One's in the Senate. So that's Senate Bill 5166 and the other's in the House. It's House Bill 1197. And so what's cool is they're PDF. So you can search the PDF for just that RCW number. So I just put in 28A.642 and it pulls me up to, it was page 600 and something, where I found this little gem where they want to allocate 1.5 million to do a compliance study, make sure all the schools are doing what they're supposed to do.
Is that 24 or 28A.642? Is what specifically, what part of law?
That is the discrimination. Is it discrimination? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so then under 642 is like .010.020. So it has all these other places. So all of these bills, they touch on multiple RCWs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so that's the budget bill, right? Is what you're saying.
That's just the one piece in the budget that ties to this RCW. Cause I was searching for this RCW. Yeah. But the budget bill is like 800 pages long.
Right. And there was, what was the legislation? Oh, it was the hate line. It was the hate line that we thought we had killed, right? Like it didn't make it through. It didn't
get the domestic extremism task force 1333.
That's what it is. Thank you. And so it didn't make it pass. It didn't pass legislation. It didn't make it out of, I don't even think it made it out of committee if I remember right. And so we thought we had, you know, we used the term killed the bill. And then all of a sudden, here's this task force that's getting together. Well, it came through a budget line item. It still got funded. So just because you might have a bill like 5181 or some of these other ones that maybe doesn't make it out of a chamber or both chambers, and so you think, okay, it's dead, they can still stay alive through a budget line item.
Right.
And so and how many pages? You said on page 642 was this
one? Yeah, something like that.
So it's, a massive document, right?
And I just, you know, it's like, we need to have, who's watching, you know, like, I just wonder, like, why are there no, you would think that legislators would be sounding the alarm. They have to vote on the bill. So, but they never do. So, you know, it leaves it to us loudmouths on social media. And
yeah. Well, hey, we have to get involved. And this is our these are our laws. These are our policies, you know, whether we agree with them or not. We can't stand on the sidelines any longer. And, right. you know, we do have to get involved. Our children are at stake. We have to. And our livelihoods and the future generations are at stake. And if we're going to have anything left for our children and our future generations, we have to get involved, you know, and do what you've done. But yes, it takes a lot of research. You have a whole team of people. I mean, I don't know how many people it is, but the more people that can get involved and help with this, the more we're going to find. Yeah. You just happen to do a search on this one RCW through this, you know, if we had 10, 20.
So what happened actually is I had done a bill of the day video on 5123 last week. And when I saw 5180, I think it was yesterday, I was looking at it. I'm like, seems like this somehow connects to 5123. So that's what led me to, because they mentioned the RCW that it amends in the, like in the top section. So I looked at that and then I went back to 5123 and then I was like, huh, I wonder what other bills. And so that's what like led me down that route. And that's what happens to me. I just like, you know, I'll get
connect the dots.
Yep. I'll start connecting the dots. And then, you know, it's 5 hours later and
yeah. Well, that's helpful to hear though, because now we, you know, we're learning from you, Julie, on, you know, after how many years, 4 years, 3 years of you doing this,
yeah,
that you've been able to kind of figure out this is how you can navigate this and you're sharing those tools with us. Right. So, you know, hopefully we can be helpful partners in all of this. Well,
and I think like the biggest thing I want to impress upon people is I know it's easy to look at like, you know, there's all these, you know, organizations and stuff that are involved in this, but most of those are like lobbyists and, you know, there's a financial piece of that. And there's like the whole political game is not always in the best interest of the citizens. And so even good policy organizations, you know, are not always doing the right thing for the people. They're doing the right thing for the donors or, you know, the organization or whatever it is. And so I would just encourage people. And the same goes with like online influencers. You know, there's a lot of that now that X is allowing people to get paid for their engagement. You know, no one's going to do it for you. And no one but you has your best interests at heart. And I don't care if we disagree on a policy. Our American way of life allows us to speak our opinion on these things. And so you are entitled to speak your opinion on something. I'm entitled to speak my opinion on something. And hopefully at the end of the day, we can, you know, grab lunch together and still be friends. That's how it used to be. You know, and come together on the things that we do agree on. Let's work together on those things and let's wish each other, you know, best of luck to you on the things we don't agree on and find a bit, come up with a better argument, rally your troops and make your case. It's the citizen activism is really important. And we haven't really been taught that we needed to do that. And so,
yeah. Yeah. And for sure. And just like what you said, Julie, I think it's, you know, we need to have that courageous dialogue. We need to say, well, I'm not seeing that. Or, hey, what about this part? And you know, on good debate makes us better.
Right.
Good debate right. makes us stronger. And we need to not shy away from that. I don't care, again, if you, you know, have a political party next to your name or not. Like, let's talk about that. Well, why would you think that this is a good idea, you know, or, well, what about this? Or what about that? Is that really what we want for our children? Right. And so we want to do whatever we can to help other people engage in this conversation, really understand it, break it down,
right?
And then go, is this what you want? Is this what you really think is good for, you know, our future generations in our schools? Is this what should be focused on in our schools? And the more laws they have to pass, the more money. Okay. So think about this, $1.5 million to OSPI to, you know, basically hold the school districts accountable. So now they're probably, you know, that means that the school districts are likely going to have to do some accountability in their own system before OSPI checks that out. That's probably going to cost the district some money. They're probably going to have to, some districts are going to hire somebody just to do that. And now you're taking more money away from the student just on the local level, let alone whatever else this agenda becomes through our state agency. I mean, the unintended consequences of all this are just, you know, beyond kind of, and this is something that is not, you know, reading, writing, and math. And you wonder why our kids are not learning how to read, write, and do arithmetic.
Right. You're going to see, you know, the good teachers that don't want anything to do with this gender madness, they're going to leave. Yep. If they're close to retirement, they're going to get out.
Yep. I've got a good friend that did just that just last year. Yes. And I have another good friend that is working in it and it makes her sick. And yet, you know, she works within the system, so she has to abide by the laws, but she fights as much as she can on the outside because she sees the impact. These little four-year-olds that their teachers have to call them, four-year-old here locally, that the teachers call the child by one name because that's what they say they want to be called. And yet the parents call it by another name, you know, the child. And can you think of what that's doing to that child that's 4 years old?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's crazy. So I cut you off when we dove into this. So we were talking about the different bills that are coming up and you were starting to get into the gun bills.
Oh, right. So I don't know if you want to take this down so that people aren't, I don't know how to do that on my end.
Let's see here. I can probably figure it out. Let me see if I can. This is where I am learning. Okay. There we go.
yeah. So gun bills, there are a number of them. I refer everybody to my good friend, Bill Kirk, Washington Gun Law on YouTube, at Gun Washington on X. He and I actually collaborate really well together. This will be our third session working together. I tip him. I'm the one that watches for the bills. And then I'm like, I text him. I'm like, okay, it dropped today. And then he goes and he breaks it down and does the video. And then those are all the talking points that I share. That way I don't have to deal with 2A bills. But there are a lot of them. There's one to put a limit on how much ammo and how many firearms you can buy.
One within 30 days and only so much ammo you can purchase in a 30-day period.
Yes.
Like 1,000 rounds or something in a 30-day period.
I think it's 500, but it's dumb. I mean, and depending on, you know, what you're doing, you could go through that real fast. I mean, what if there's a big sale, right? And you want to stock up, you can't stock up. They want to ration you. So there's that, there's the one that puts more restrictions on the FFL. There is the
FFL. Say what that is.
Federal firearms licensing dealer. So those are the people that you buy your gun from.
Yeah.
And then they're really just trying to get rid of all the shut down all the FFLs in the state. And then they've got the permit to purchase. So you'd have to go through classes. You'd have to do live fire training before you could get, you would have to do all those things. And then you get a permit. And once you have the permit, then you can go purchase a firearm.
Yeah, they haven't read our amendments recently. The Second Amendment rights recently, have they?
Oh, the thing is, they don't care. They don't even care. I mean, they have so many of these laws that it makes it impossible for citizens to fight back.
And that's the thing. It's not the people that are law-abiding citizens that's just going to impact that are the problem. You know, so all you're doing is you're just, you know, increasing the regulation and of good citizens. And why are they doing that? Why would they do that?
You know, it's interesting as you say that. I'm thinking as I scroll through the list of pre-filed bills, there are a lot of bills to give more rights to incarcerated people. And bills to, so it's like, we want to give these people more, the criminals more rights, and we want to put more restrictions on the law abiding citizens.
That's an interesting way to classify that, Julie. I think that might be an interesting graph. It's almost like,
I see you're giving me some homework.
Well, I could be happy to help if I can help. I'm not sure I'm as talented. I know I'm not as talented as you as putting together some great graphics. You're amazing.
Thank you. It would be interesting to go and look at like all of the, you know, places that they want to restrict the rights of law-abiding citizens, and where they want to give more rights to criminals. You know, there's the one for the voting in jail. They want to allow inmates to have political groups. There are a number, I haven't even looked at them all, but you know, like all of these different programs and things that are going to cost money for, you know, reentry and healthcare in jails and all these things for the people that are in the jails. And meanwhile, they want to take away the constitutional rights of the law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
So it's very backwards. I would say of what, you know, the election bills for allowing they want to have election coordinators and stuff in the jails. I think that's bad because we know what those election coordinators in the jails are going to be like. We know what their political affiliation is going to be. They want to do automatic voter registration. So if you sign up for food stamps or Apple Care or any of the, you know, benefits through the state, you will automatically be registered to vote unless you opt out. And I imagine their opt out features, like, you know, how when you like order something on a new website and you forget to uncheck, you know, the box opt out, it's going to be sort of that sort of thing where you're automatically going to get opted in and you didn't even know. So that is, I think, really bad. And there's been so many bad election laws that have passed in the last few years that just make things worse. And you know, just like this ball of yarn that just has to be unraveled to get us back to, you know, sane voting, transparency. Yeah, transparent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's so complex now. It's very hard for people to navigate and understand because of all these different little add-ons and innuendos. And yeah, it's crazy. Wow. That's fascinating that you're starting to look at it like that. You know, maybe we'll get some people that have some extra time on their hands that can engage with us on that.
Yeah.
Say maybe they'll help us with some graphics.
That'd be great.
I know, right? We're always really recruiting. We always
that's
want
right.
partners.
That's right.
So that's a little bit of what to expect with the gun bills and anything else that's hot on your list as you're you know, looking at the pre-filed.
That's the gun bills and the education and the kind of the parental rights things. Those are really, I would say, kind of at the top right now. There's a weird one, kind of out of our wheelhouse, but that would be a minimum wage act change. And this would raise the minimum wage to $25 an hour by the year 2031.
Oh my goodness.
You know, I hope that some of these bills never go anywhere. I hope that's one of them. You know, you just look at these proposed policies and you just like, they're just like trying to drive the train off the cliff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and as someone that's born and raised and lived my entire life in Washington, it's so hard to watch.
Oh, I bet, especially when you're in Florida and you guys don't have a lot of these crazy policies and you see the impact. You see people moving into Florida, you see people staying, you see, you know, what? I mean, tell me what else you see, because I'm not there.
I see the sun.
Besides the sun. But I mean, businesses thriving, right?
Yeah. Despite the, you know, we had, I'm on the Southwest coast. I'm in Sarasota. And so it's, you know, we got hit with Helene and then Milton. We had three big hurricanes in 2024. And the resiliency of the people here and, you know, just the, like right after the day after the hurricane, you know, everybody's outside helping each other, and the emergency response by the government at every level. You know, DeSantis is on, you know, TV and social media all day long, every day as we gear up and afterwards, but so are, you know, the local government, with whatever, letting you know what the plan is, letting you know where you can go, where the shelters are, and when the truck's going to come and pick up all the debris from your yard. And, it's very organized. It's quite interesting to see a well-functioning government when you come from a place like Washington. Wow. You're able to really appreciate it, right? Like my neighbors, that's all they know.
You're like, oh, this isn't always what it's like. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's cool. Also, you know, you can go to a gun store and you can buy a firearm with, you know, more than 10 rounds. You know, my husband got me a new firearm for Christmas that has 17 round mags, and you can't buy that in Washington. You guys can't have that.
Nope. Not now. Not now.
And it's just like, it's truly like another country. And it's so un-American.
But the criminals can get their hands on it.
Oh, the criminals can do whatever they want.
Right. Cause that's what they do. They are going to get the black market stuff and the stuff that's not legal, but we can't. Yeah. Oh my goodness. We could talk about stuff like that all day.
I know. It's just so insane. It's so insane. Washington is insane.
It's crazy how far it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's one more thing I'd like to ask you about is, I think I keep thinking about who are the people that are putting these bills forward, and a lot of them are Democrats, you know? So, how do we, you know, I know, you know, people that live in places that have a Democrat legislator, and how, is there anything else we can be doing to advocate with our Democrat representatives, our Republican representatives that you have seen to be effective, besides testifying on bills and stuff like that, you know, when these bills come up? But, you know, are there certain people that are pushing these agendas that maybe their community doesn't know, you know, that they're pushing these agenda? I don't know. You know, yeah. One of the things I posted today was the, I did a little bit of digging, and I found out that six of our Congress people in Washington state voted against the Lincoln Riley Act.
Mm-hmm.
Six of our legislators, of our Congress people, both of our senators voted for it.
Oh,
which was shocking. I know. Yeah, that is shocking. I know. But you know, six of our Congress people voted against it.
And I know, it's some, like, of the Democrat Congress people in Florida did too.
And so, you know, I think that's my question is like, do their citizens that vote for them know that? Do they know that? So I have that kind of in the back of my head. And I guess that's why I ask you that question is there anything else that people can be doing that you've seen effective, maybe, you know, conservative like myself, maybe that has a Democrat representative? I don't, but, you know, obviously a majority of people in Washington do, where they have found to be effective in maybe changing some trajectory of some of these legislators.
Yeah. You know, we actually have a call to action on our Legislative Action Center right now. We're really working hard to get Jim Walsh's bill. It's House Bill 1176. It would raise that that age from 13 to 17 for the mature minor doctrine, not across the board, but in certain contexts, including mental health care. We really want that bill to get a hearing, and we think that it's something that parents of all political affiliations would support. So we have the call to action goes to whoever your House representatives are, right? So if you go in and you put in your address, it's going to go to your LD4,
I think. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would go to them. We really want to get a lot of people in Western Washington sending these. So it goes to a lot of Democrats, because the Democrats are the ones that are going to have, be able to move a bill, right? Because they chair the committees. And so I'm really hopeful that maybe we could put enough pressure to at least get the bill a public hearing so people could speak out. You know, the way the law currently reads, a child could, you know, at 14 years old at school during the day, consent to a COVID vaccine without parent permission. So, you know, parents who are concerned about vaccines, which aren't just Republican parents, you know, they don't want that to happen during the school day. They don't want their child to be making those decisions that may, you know, I know my kids at that age, they didn't know their medical history. They didn't know what they're allergic to, you know, as far as medications and things like that, and their reactions to certain vaccines that, you know, you're probably like me, kept like the baby book with all the records of the shots and the reactions and things like that. And, so we're trying that approach with this particular call to action to see if we can put some pressure on the Democrats to at least get the bill a hearing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think they're going to pass whatever they want to pass. What I would like is for the Republicans not to help them.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
Make it as hard as possible. Yeah, they don't need help, and I don't think it's beneficial to a Republican legislator to vote yes on bad policy, because you're not going to win yourself any Democrat votes, but you will disenfranchise your Republican or non-left voters. And I don't think that's a smart thing to do. So I would encourage the Republicans to hold the line, please.
Yes. And you, we've talked about that, and we don't have to name names or say any bills here, because we're not trying to, you know, do a gotcha. But I know where you have shared instances where a Republican legislator, you know, voted for a bill that was clearly, you know, anti-Republican, not something that our platform supports. And they said, well, they're going to do this amendment or something. And it never turns out, right?
Like it never works in their favor. In fact, you know, I'm just going to say this, and I have no, he doesn't ever respond to my emails anyway. I've never actually spoken to him, but when we were talking at length about the gender inclusive schools policies, that was Senate Bill 5689 that was passed in 2019. Five Republicans voted to pass that, including the House Minority Leader, Drew Stokesbury. They didn't need his help. Why? And there's no, like, you got paid off, you got, you know, bribed. I don't care what it was. That's not a good reason to vote for it. Another person who voted for it is Skylar Rood, and he votes for a lot of bad policies. But I went back and I was watching the executive session on this bill from 2019. And during that he talked for like 3 minutes and said not much. But one of the things he said was, I got thousands of emails from people who don't understand the transgender issues. And because of those emails, that solidifies my yes vote. So what he was saying was, he got people that wanted him to vote no. And because these people clearly don't understand the issue, I'm going to be voting yes.
And that was Skylar Rood.
Mm-hmm.
And that was House Bill 5689.
Senate Bill 5689.
Senate Bill 5689 in 2019. And that was, what was the topic? Gender expression or gender?
They called it transgender bullying. It created 3211, policy 3211.
Oh, geez, please. See, and that's why. That's the why. That's why we have to get involved, stay involved, watch the votes, hold them accountable, and have the tough conversations and talk about it. You know, it may be uncomfortable. I'm sorry. And maybe if you don't know me, I'm not afraid to rock a boat, neither is Julie. And that's why I love her, because we're not afraid to say and stand up for what's right and what's wrong. And
I just have to give a shout out real quick to Dawn Land. I don't know if you know Dawn. I think she's in Pierce County, but she testified on that particular bill back in 2019. And kind of, as I go back and look at some of these bills on that topic, she's always there testifying. So shout out to Dawn. She needs an army of people. I'm sorry we're late, but we're here now. But we need people speaking up. You know, like you were saying, it's like, you can't be afraid to speak out. You can't be afraid of a backlash, even from your own side.
Right. And that's what I have seen. And that's what part of my why. Number one, we were talking about vaccination. So my son was vaccine injured when he was 18 months. So I haven't been able to trust the government with vaccinations for 20 years. And he stopped talking actually for 2 years. Wow. And so, and I kept it on the down low for a long time. So that our children, that our, you know, 14-year-olds could make a decision on their own. You know, we saw this during COVID to the pressure, the social pressure of all of this, I mean, was extreme. And that as a child at 14 could, you know, withstand that.
Right.
When they, just go get it, you know, just go get it. I mean, that's what we're talking about could happen right now. So, so you have that. But what I wanted to say is, through my experiences, all Republicans aren't the same and all Democrats aren't the same. We need to start talking about what's right and what's wrong. And be bold about this. And if it's not right, it's not right. I don't care what's next to your name. So I'm right there with you, Julie. I'm going to, you know, if people are voting away that we don't agree with and that aren't our values, and especially if they're not values of the Republican Party, I think we've got to, I will be bold with you and stand right here and shout it.
I know you're awesome. You're awesome. Well, that one.
I appreciate you. You've helped, you know, you've helped me, you know, as we've had these conversations, and you've been bold to stand up and to say what's going on. And it's helped me, because, you know, it's kind of scary at first when you start pushing back on some of these people that are, you know, and they're, you know, I know a lot of them. I've worked with a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's nothing personal, but if you're going to vote a way that doesn't, you know, align with our values, we're going to call it out.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yep. So, and courage is contagious. You know, I mean, it really is. If I'm doing it, then maybe that gives you the courage to do it. And if you're doing it, then maybe that gives someone else the courage to do it. And it just, you know, we build.
Yep. Yep, exactly right. Well, this has been really amazing. And I'm just thrilled to have you on and thrilled about what you're doing and for the information and the research and the time that you've spent to dig into all this, to set up these great tools. So remind everybody again where they can go to sign up for your emails, to sign up, you know, to use these tools, how to follow you, keep up with all your great research.
Yeah, conservativeladiesofwa.com. And you can sign up for emails on the homepage. If you go to the issues tab, you'll find our Legislative Action Center. You can sign up for our Substack, on every social platform, Conservative Ladies of Washington or Conservative Ladies of America, and Conservative Ladies of America. So if you're like in Washington and you're thinking of getting out, make sure we're going to be expanding this year. We're headed to Idaho and Utah, and the Florida session starts in March, so we'll be hitting Florida too. So we'll be expanding our work and some of our key issues, making sure that red states don't go blue, because it is a problem. The left is here in Florida, and they're working hard to infiltrate. So on all social platforms, Conservative Ladies of America and Washington. And then on X, I'm at Julie C. Barrett. And on Facebook, Julie Baird as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, again,
I'm not as sassy on Facebook.
I think
my
you
mom
do great.
On Facebook.
I think you do great. Again, I've really appreciated partnering with you. And so, likewise. You know, hopefully we'll keep doing this. You know, let me know how I can be a good partner for you. If there's something,
that'd be awesome.
You know, information that you want to get out, or you want to do this again and you want to focus on a different topic or different bills, you know, that are, cool. that are really concerning, just know that this is an option for you. And awesome. Again, appreciate your time. And we've got 103 viewers right now. So
that's awesome.
We're getting the word out.
So Happy that's Friday.
Really exciting. Yeah, right. Here we go, right? Get ready. It's Fast and Furious.
It's on Monday.
Short session or long?
No, it's a long session. It ends like April 27th.
So we've got 4 months, you know, of gung-ho here. So everybody strap on and get ready and tune in to Julie and Conservative Ladies of Washington and sign up for their emails and take action. We need you to get involved and share this with your friends and family. You know, here's you know, a couple moms that had to get involved. You heard Julie's story. This happened to her right here in Washington State. This is her why. If you missed that part of it, it's at the very beginning of the recording. And so I encourage you to go back if you did miss that, because it happened to Julie. It can happen to any of us here. And so again, thank you for your courage to tell that story and be transparent, Julie. And blessings to you and your family in Florida. I'll try not to be jealous, because I know it's a little warmer there.
I have a guest room. You can come stay with me.
Okay, you got it.
Time.
You got it. All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.